I've been talking to us about identity. I just want to continue to do that. You'll get to know me. Like, he just stays. I don't know what he does, but don't worry, he's just going to sit on something. Well, I'm sitting on identity. If there's one thing that we could really learn or really get is who we are in Christ, our identity. I put up this little formula a few weeks ago, which I just bring out again to you so you might understand. It's revelation plus application equals transformation. What happens with change is that we'll hear something and we'll think, you know, that's right, that's good, but that doesn't mean we're going to do it, eh? You know, you know that, don't you? You know, you hear good things, you think, yeah, that's a really good thing to do, but we never do it, you know? And what we have to do is bring application to it if we want to see transformation in our life. And so I'm very conscious that, you know, that what I've got to do is to bring that sense of revelation, but somehow you've got to apply it. And with this message around identity, I would want you to drill so much deeper on it. I would want you to get hold of things so much more, because here's the point. Every person in this room this morning, you are a son or a daughter of the living God. You might say, but I'm miles away from God. Doesn't matter about where you see yourself. It matters how God sees you. How God sees you. And that's what we've got to do. What we're living in a world today that we can't even get out the Bible anymore, because you get out the Bible, you start reading it, and someone will say, oh, well, yeah, that's what it is. But there's actually another way of seeing that. And you know, we're at a point now where you don't, you know, quite honestly, with the Bible, you're going to struggle to work out what's right anymore, you know. It depends on who you're listening to. People have said to me, Ivan, I think you're a bit of a fundamentalist. I think I am. It's true, I only got 13% school certificate. I like things pretty simple, you know. I like it very, very simple. And if the Word says that, well, I'm just going to believe it. I find that when people say to you, Ivan, how come you seem to be able to do things? I go, well, I just read that. Well, where'd you read it? Well, I read it in the Bible, you know. So, like when I was 17 years of age, I just started to pray with sick people, for instance. I just started to read the life of Christ. I didn't have a role model. I didn't have a church that showed me this. I just did it because the person who told me that this was the manual. Whatever you read in this, you do. Oh, okay. Well, I see. You know, like Jesus would say to go out and pray for the sick and to heal the sick. He didn't actually say pray for the sick. He said heal the sick. So I just tried that stuff, you know, And things would happen, and people would say, man, you're gifted. And I'd go, well, I don't know, I'll just, where's that? What page is that on? Because this is all that I, and I've kept it simple. And over the years, I've had people, I've sat in classes that have really screwed my head up, I've got to tell you. They basically convinced me that the Word of God isn't truth anymore. And I'll tell you where it lands me. Screwed. What do I believe now? What do you, right? I might be the most educated person that can basically pull this book apart and da 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 da, but I'm screwed. I'm finished. I'm a mess because I've got nothing. So I just like to keep it simple. And so for me, I want you to understand this. That God comes to each one of you this morning and says, I don't care how you see you. I don't care how others see you. I'll tell you how I see you. You are a son and daughter. You belong to the family. They go to Jesus. They say, Jesus, teach us how we should pray. Jesus says this because he's the role model to our life. He says, this is how you should pray. Oh, great chairman of the board. Oh, great executive officer. No, he says, you'll pray like this. He says, you pray, our Father. Why? Because it's a family business. It's a family business. You get it? That's what it is. It's a family business. He cuts log. He says, when creation all started, what was it about? God just went to build family. It's a family business. Every one of us here this morning, doesn't matter how you see yourself, doesn't matter how other people see you, just matters how God sees you. How does God see you? He comes to you and he says, you are my son. You are my daughter. You're my son. You are my daughter. You go, oh, no, but look at me, look at me. But he doesn't see you. He doesn't see you through your sin. He sees you through his kingdom. And his kingdom is that there is no sin. There is no sin. Now, well, how can we do this? Well, let's go through this again. I want you to get a picture because I'll keep on going this. In Genesis chapter 1, if you've got a Bible there, hope you have. Genesis chapter 1, have a look at it. If you don't know where that is, it's pretty early on in the Bible. She's might be just after the contents page. Genesis chapter 1, and I'd like you to have a look at verse 26. And this is what it says. Verse 26, then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. Okay, now that's a key. That's key, right? So I'm reading, you're reading. Well, where did it all start? God said, let us make human beings. So the designer was God. Now, we could dispute this. It could be the Big Bang Theory or whatever. But you know, for me, I just like, you know, look, yeah. Go play those games. I'll just go with this. God created us in His image. That He created us like Him, like God. Okay? Right? Because that's what He says. Let God, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. And then verse 27 says, so God created human beings in His own image, in the image of God, not in the image of monkeys. In the image of God, He created them, male and female, He created them. Okay, and so what we've got humanity being created in the image of God. Okay, and what I have been saying is this, that God creates a male and a female, and they are different, but yet before the fall, they were never given a name. Before the fall, they were only known as mankind. If you wanted to give them a name, they would be known as the first Adam. The first Adam. So when you hear the first Adam, they're not just talking about the man. They're talking about male and female together. You see, because in God's kingdom there were differences between the male and the female, but they're co-equal in power and glory. Right? They will be different. I can live with that. I can live with that. Okay. Now, please, when I talk, listen to me, I've had many people who have really struggled with their sexuality. If there is somebody here this morning and likely to be someone, I'm saying to you this, listen, don't wrestle with me. Just rest in God. Just rest in God. Because I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to accept you wherever you are. Hear me again. Wherever you are with your journey, I'm going to accept you. I'm just going to love you where you are. Because at the end of the day, it's the Creator I'd like to introduce you to. Right? And over the years, trust me, we've had many people who've struggled with their sexuality that I've journeyed with, and one of the things that I will offer is no judgment. I am not going to make a judgment call on all this stuff. All I know is this, that God created male and He created female. They were different, but they were even. They were equal. There was no sense. The only sense where women might feel that there comes, through society, there has been an injustice. You know, me Tarzan, me you Jane, comes about because of the fall. It came as a result of the fall. It was after the fall that man started to name. Right? It was after that things went screwy, distortion to God's kingdom. So we got this picture then, okay? And so I said to you that God created a male and a female and He had to put them somewhere. Now, He could have put them in heaven, in where God dwells in His fullness. He could have put them there. But you see, He's created His kingdom. And His fullness was for earth as well. He had created earth. And so in Psalm 115, verse 16, look at it on the screen. It says, the heavens belong to the Lord, but He has given earth to all humanity. So He gives us earth. All right? That's why, do you know, who here really wants to die? You know that heaven, generally speaking, 37 years of ministry, most people that I meet don't really want to leave this earth. They really, there are moments when you think, oh, it would be great. But generally speaking, I find that people would like to stay around here as long as they can. Right? Well, the reason is because that was put in our we were created creatures. Why for earth? That And God, in the end of times, when the whole world, and I mean, you won't hear it from me what day it'll be or what hour it'll be or how it'll be. I haven't got a clue. We can bring in many great scholars and they won't agree with each other. But listen, one thing I do know, the Bible tells me there will be a new heaven, there will be a new earth. Why worry about it? Why worry about a new earth if we're destined for heaven? Well, no, we're destined. Somehow, I think, I don't know how all this works, but somehow I think we're still, at the end of the day, going to find ourselves on earth. I don't know. I don't understand it. Well, you should, Ivan. Well, I don't know. There are people here who know far more than me, but the closest I'll do, honestly, one of the core we're in, one of the churches in, I said, why don't we start a group that meets and has lunch, because anything around meals is good for me, have lunch, and we just debate it. Only two rules is that you'll honour each other, and secondly, that you'll listen to each other. And so we used to have this class, they'd come in, and man alive, it was like some of the most weird out concepts that you could ever imagine. We only had two rules. We'd honour each other and we'd listen to each other. I'll welcome that. I'll go to a group like that. But at the end of the day, it doesn't really change me. What I need to know is that I'm a son. What you need to know is that you are a son and daughter of the living God this morning. And so I've said that we were created to rule. Genesis 1, verse 28. We're in that chapter. Verse 28, then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and govern it or rule over it. Reign over the fish and the seas, the birds of the sky and all the animals that scurry along the ground. And so I've said to you already that rulership is not about being role modeled by dictators. But the role model, we say, oh, can anybody show me what rulership looks like? God says, yeah, I have. I've got the person. Oh, please, bring them in. Jesus, that's how you rule. How he lived on earth is how he would want you to rule. That the motivation would be servanthood. That it would be love. All right? That's his kingdom. Okay. And so we've got this picture then. We've got this picture of his royal family on earth in right relationship with all power and authority to rule. So let me just show you again. So God comes along, he creates male and he creates female, and he then puts them in right relationship as a son and daughter. And then what he does is that he then gives them power, which is the presence of the Holy Spirit, and he gives them authority to rule. That's the picture. Got the picture? Okay. But there were things that were lost as a result of the fall. Because the whole world changed. No. Don't go there. One more thing. Here we look. Genesis 1, verse 31. We need to look at this. Then God looked over all that he'd made, and he saw that there were real problems with it. Right? Then God looked over all that he had made and saw that there were weaknesses in what he had done. When God looked over it all that he made and he saw what he'd done, it was very, very good. Now, I tell you this. This is what I know about God. It's really deep. If God says something's really good, it'll be really good. All right? Okay? That's pretty deep. If God says it's very good, this is very good. It's very good. All right? It's very good. Nowhere do we get an inkling that God's looking at this creation going, oh man, did I stuff up? I had a moment there, I didn't get this right, you know? No. He's looking through kingdom eyes and he's saying, there's a son, there's a daughter, they have authority, they have the presence of the Holy Spirit, they're placed in a domain or in a garden. I want them to bring my world, rule it, I want the rule to spread, I want the sense to spread through all the earth. And he looks at it and he goes, very good, very good. This is very good. All right? So we know that things were lost. We know that right relationship was lost. We know that power and authority was taken away. And so then we've got an introduction in our story this morning of Jesus. And he's known, does anybody know this? as the second Adam. Why call him the second Adam? Because he's coming to try to say, look at the first Adam, I'm the second Adam. Something has been lost from the first Adam that I, the second Adam, have come to restore. Okay? All right? And so what happens here is this, that what has happened by us, by Jesus and what he does, he comes, he lives, he dies, he arises from the dead, he ascends from high, he pours out his spirit upon all humanity. What happens? Well, number one, we now have right relationship with the Father. John 1:12 says, you want to look at it? It'll be on the screen. You say, it's on the screen, Ivan. But have a look at it in your Bible. John 1, it's always good to do this. John 1, verse 12 says, but to all who believed in him, accepted him, he gave them the right to what? Become the children of God. What was lost? What is he trying to restore? He's trying to restore first Adam. What did first Adam have? Right relationship with God. What's he trying to restore in us? Right relationship with God. We are sons and daughters of the living God. Next thing, Acts 1 verse 8. Jesus said this, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. What was the first Adam called to do? They were to rule. What they were to do was they were to live life, and all of creation would look at them, and when they looked at them, they would be a witness of what? Of what God was doing, right? Okay, you got that? So the first Adam were to live in such a way that they would rule and they'd live, and when all creation looked at them, they would go, this is what God is like, right? So here comes Jesus, he says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit, look at it, but where you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and then what? You'll be my witness. Oh, that was what first Adam was to do. Oh, right? He's linking it, eh? Then you'll be my witnesses. When? When you have the presence of the Holy Spirit again. When you're in power. Right? So then what he does is because what have we got? We've got right relationship, we've got power. There's one more that was missing, and it was authority. Matthew 28, before the ascension, he said this. Matthew 28, verse 18, he says, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Has Jesus always had authority in heaven? Answer is yes. Has he always had authority on earth? The answer is no, he lost it. Who lost it? The ones he gave it to lost it. First Adam dropped the ball. Second Adam comes, picks it up again, says, come on, all authority is now given to you. It's given to you, okay? All right? And why does he do this? Jesus shows us in his life. He shows us in 3.5 years of public ministry what we're supposed to do. And that is this, that we are to proclaim, which is to preach, to speak our message. And then we are to demonstrate, which is to live, what? The kingdom of God, what? On earth. That's what he does. He comes along, Jesus in his public ministry, you go through the Gospels, he'll come to a situation and he'll do something and he'll basically say things like this, the kingdom of God has now come. He'll go and over here, he'll do this and they'll do this, and at the end of the day, the disciples say, what happened there? He'll say, the kingdom of God did this. This is what the kingdom of God. And then he'll start talking, he'll say, hey, let me tell you a story. The kingdom of God is like this. What is he trying to do? He is trying to show humanity what the kingdom of God is like. He's calling humanity to proclaim and to demonstrate what the kingdom of God is like. So what happens? Let me just do this. God creates male, female, son and daughter, and then he places them in a garden. Why? Because he wants them to go rule in that garden. He wants them to multiply, to expand, to advance in that garden. And wherever they went, they would be witnesses to what God is like. Okay? So here we go. Revelation. That's Revelation. Application. Every one of you here now are a son and daughter of the living God. You've been placed in a garden. Let's name some of the gardens just quickly. We've got, where's your garden, Sarah? You're thinking, oh no, she's talking about my garden. It's like, no, no. It'll be to be a house, to be a wife, to be a mother, to live where you are, to be in this church. That's your garden. You got it? Rick, where's your garden? Yeah. Are you struggling? Where is your garden? Most of the church will, because this is a new sound. Oh, no, 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 no. My garden must be that I go to Hutt City Church. That's my garden. No, no, no. Now, my garden is Glenda, daughter Rebecca, partner Will, Nathan, Jess, Elisha, here we go, Summer, Josiah, Azariah, right? That's my garden. That's my garden. Salvation Army Officership, that's my garden. Hutt City, this is my garden. You with me? What am I to do in the garden? I'm to show you what the kingdom of God is like. That's all I'm to do. I'm just to show. I want the world. I want the world to be one. Well, yes, that can be my cry, but at the end of the day, God will only make me responsible for my garden. Right? Yes, I can advance. I can advance because I've just spent this young man here. This morning, he's just come from Australia. He's been with us. Some of you might know him better than me, but I've just met him for the first time this morning. So I can advance by now we're in relationship. I'm hoping that by the time you get to know me a little more, that you'll understand something of God. This is a powerful community. This is a powerful community. Look around. Look, we've got police ministries. We've got school ministries, education. We've got many different fields, you know, preschool ministries going on. Oh, yeah, playgroup. No, no, no. Wherever you are. Those of us who are a little older in life, you say, well, you know, where's my garden? Yeah, you've got a garden, you know. You know that there are people. You've got neighbours. You've got people. You've been planted in places. And that's how the kingdom of God is going to come. That's how the kingdom of God is going to come. Now, this is a very different sound for a lot of people. They say, no, no, I thought I'd come to Jesus, so I go to church. That's why I come to Jesus, so I go to church. No, 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 no. That's only part of it. You come to Jesus so that you can be Jesus to your community. To your community. That's why you come to him. Every one of us. Oh, well, I'm disqualified. Why? You belong to a family. You're a son and daughter. Well, I don't want to be. Yes, okay. You are now a prodigal son and daughter. You are now a rebellious son and daughter. I've got a daughter that has said to me, Dad, I'm struggling with church life because of some of the pain that she's had. And quite honestly, if I had gone through what she's gone through, I'd most probably be in a similar situation. But I don't say, oh, well, if you don't obey my rules, then, man, you're not part of my family anymore. Broken humanity does that with each other, but not Father God. Broken humanity says, if you don't square up to the way I see things, then I don't want a relationship. You're out. I'm sending you out of my... Only broken humanity does that. God looks and says, no, here's my daughter. Here's my son. A little rebellious. A little disobedient. Gives me a tough time as a father. But still my son. Still my daughter. Isn't that good news? That's why this message is the hope of the world. If there's somebody here today, you're saying, man, I've been too rebellious. No, no, you're a rebellious son. Oh, you know, I've done evil things. Yeah, but you're still a son. He is longing for you. He is longing to be in relationship with you. Oh, but I'm screwed. I've taken drugs. My brain's fried. You're still a son, you're still a daughter. He loves you. Now, some of us find this really hard. I'll just finish here because I could go on for hours. I'll just finish here because the reality is this, that in our humanity, we do not role model what Father God is like. And our problem is that we have learnt that what the real message is how I was treated by my mum and how I was treated by my dad, how I've been treated by the world. Well, that's why we've got to get back to the Bible. That's why for me, you know, there are moments when people want to walk into my life. I know what I was like as a teenager. I've met some of my friends again who go, Ivan, really? You ended up there? I can't believe. And they want to tell me all about, remember we did this, we did that. Remember the police coming over this and that and rah, rah, rah. You know, I was the raspberry jam king. Could be my file. Raspberry jam king. We had a raspberry jam factory out the back, and me, we were 10 years of age. The gang of the Byzants. We raided and robbed from the jam factory. To my dismay, I was seen as I was left running the crime, and I had on a rin-tin-tin singlet. And the police next day went up the street going, would your son around 10 years of age have a rin-tin-tin singlet? And my mother says, my son does. Why would that be? And that day was a very interesting day from that moment. Right? But you can tell me all about my past and all about my evil, and I can try and tell, but listen, I am a son. And I come to the Father and I say, you remember Dad? And he says, oh no, in my kingdom, it's not good for me to remember all that. you're just my son. Oh, I tell you, the best moments of my life is when I stand in the presence of God and I'm worshiping and I hear this voice, you are my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. That's you. You are my beloved daughter in whom I am well pleased. Oh God. My kids don't think that. You know what I mean? That's who you are. Why do I need to know this? Because when the storm comes, you'll either rise up and go, you're right, I'm a failure. You're right, I'm useless. You're right, I'm nobody. You're right. No. But when the storm rises, you'll go, no, I remember. I'm a son. I'm a daughter. I'm a son and I'm a daughter. And I'll tell you, it'll make all the difference in the midst of the storm. So if there's anybody here who's feeling like, can you, every time I preach this stuff, it's the atmosphere changes. It's like a heavy, like it's just a loving presence comes across. It's like the arms of God wraps around us and says, you hear it? That's who we are. We're family. It's really good, isn't it? We should bathe in it. That's why we worship. We go, well, God, thank you. Thank you, Lord. And this morning, I just want to use this as the conclusion because the kids must be just about ready to invade our world. If there is somebody here this morning who says, Ivan, man, I'd love to know this more, then you've got to believe. You've got to receive. And I'll help you. Others will help you. We're all family together. We'll help you. And it'll mean that we'll just have to pray. It can't be that simple. Yes, it can be. We'll just pray. We'll pray, God, that your spirit would come into the hearts and lives of people here and confirm that they are the child of God. That's what Romans 8 says, that the Spirit of God comes and joins our spirit and says, you are a child of God. If you don't know that experience, then I say to you this morning, get some prayer. Don't leave this place. Leave knowing that you are a son and daughter of the living God. And I'll hope that next week the Lord says you can move on to the number two, which is about our destiny. But anyway, God bless you. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you this morning. We are sons and daughters in this room. We're family. Oh, Lord, I really want to thank you that you haven't made everybody like me. Crikey. Thanks for that, Lord. And Lord, I want to thank you that you didn't make us like someone else in this room either. I don't know. It's so good that you are the creator, that you make us so, so different, all of us. Some of us don't even speak English as their number one language. And still you love them. And some people here, Lord, just don't. They've been in New Zealand all their life. They still can't speak English. Lord, and you still love them. Lord, you love all of us, Father. We are your family, sons and daughters of the living God. We are all equal. There is no one in this room better than anybody else. We are all equal. We are all stand and we sit in your company this morning as sons and daughters of the living God. Father, I'm asking now that you would just make us into a great family. Make us into a great family. We're already a good family, but I want us to be a great family, Father. A great family where anyone will find their place here. Anyone would find their place. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Jamie, I'm going to give you a piece of music. There's a song called They Shall Come From the East, They Shall Come From the West. And a lot of people here, some people here will know that song. It's a guy by the name of Larson and Gowans wrote it. Larson wrote the music, Gowans wrote the words. Larson came one year and he played piano, he's just playing it. And I just cried, I was a mess. You know, we're in the offices, all these offices together, and we're in little groups around a table, you know, and Larson was sitting at the piano playing. I just played to you something that Gowans and I wrote together, you know. One of these songs, They Shall Come From the East, They Shall Come From the West, and Sit Down in the Kingdom of God. Started to play it, I just burst into tears. I was just shaking. Glenda said, are you all right? No, I wasn't. Because I got a vision that day of what this course should be like. That they are people from all race, people from all situations of life, rich, poor, broken, black, white, fat, thin, doesn't matter who you are. Just come and sit in the kingdom of God. Oh, Hutt City, that's us. Isn't that good? I know. I know some of you are going, oh, but I'm not worthy of this. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. You're a daughter. You're a son of the living God. God bless you.